You know, I hope over Thanksgiving you had a chance to be thankful and celebrate, but I also hope there was a moment in there where you had an opportunity simply to say thanks to God for his blessings in your life. And no matter where you might be right now, whatever stuff you've got going on, things that might feel like they're flipped on their end, and yet in the midst of those, there are still some things that we can be grateful for. And so I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and we're going to continue in our series about forgiveness, so you may have some new illustrations you can use since you just hung out with family for a bit. But we want to encourage you to, as we lean into Christmas season, we've had Black Friday, and now we got Cyber Monday and Giving Tuesday coming, and we just keep naming in all the days. Pretty soon it'll just stretch straight till Christmas, and we do launch into a bunch of Christmas stuff. So as Luke said, I hope you get plugged in to a bunch of the events we have going on. Great chance for you to be inviting your friends. I want you specifically to be thinking of, who is it that I ought to invite, either to a Christmas service, one of the weekend worship services, one of the special events, or as we lean into Christmas Eve, who is it you're praying for, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, a family member, that you're wanting to just have a simple invitation? And there is power when you and I choose to do that, and the Christmas season is a great opportunity for that. So I do hope you'll get it plugged in. I hope you'll pick up some of the things. We want to clean those trees off and those boards off with Kindness for Kids and Single Moms and the opportunities and seniors that we help out during this season. And so I hope that you'll be a part of that and a chance for us to give back in a lot of different ways. You know, as we gather on this weekend, we do want to continue in our series about forgiveness, but we're also kind of leaning towards next week. And a special invitation I want to encourage you, next weekend kicks off our Christmas season. We're going to be talking about peace and hope and joy in the following weeks. And next week, we've done this for a long time here at Lifebridge. Our services will be focused around what we call Blue Christmas, because we recognize that for a whole bunch of us, the holidays aren't this joyous season. Maybe you've got something going on, some challenge you've experienced, maybe the loss of a loved one. And so we're going to be sharing next weekend about how do we find peace in the middle of a world that seems crazy right now, and maybe your world seems crazy right now. And there's heartache and disappointment. How do we find peace in the middle of that? And then next Sunday afternoon, our Grief Share ministry is going to be hosting an event called Coping with the Holidays. And if you've had a tough time, you're going through an experience, we want to encourage you to be a part of that. And for all of us, whether we're in the middle of that or we have friends who are, it's a good chance for us to be reminded of the peace that comes through this Christmas message. And so we're looking forward to that. As we finish up here on forgiveness, I hope for all of us, it's been an opportunity to look in the mirror at where we need to ask for forgiveness and where we need to extend forgiveness. And there's a challenge around that. It is difficult for us to do that. And I received this illustration from somebody, a story about Eva Moses Cora. Eva was, she and her twin sister were born in 1934 in Romania. In May of 1944, they were loaded onto cattle cars. She said, as a family, we had no idea. She had two older sisters, her mom and her dad, and her siblings were loaded into this train, and they were taken to Auschwitz. And she said, we got off the train, and in her words, I watched the longer version of her story. She said, I had no idea. I'd never seen a place. I didn't know what was going on. Dogs were barking. People were shouting at us. Families were screaming in horror. She said her dad was shuffled off to one side. She never saw him again. Her older sisters were taken to a different part right off the train. She never saw them again. And she said a guard came through yelling twins. And when they spotted her and her twin sister, who were 10 years old, they took her away from her mom, who she said she'd never saw again. And they did all those horrible experiments on twins, if you remember any of our history. One of the more sobering things for me personally over the years, as we take groups to Israel, we're taking another group here in March, and I'd love to have you experience that sometime. But one of the more sobering moments when we're in Jerusalem is when we go to the Holocaust Museum. And it starts out telling the story of how occupation happened and the horrific experience Jewish people found through that in each country. And it ends in this museum, though. It starts dark and small, and it grows and gets a place of light. Because there's still hope. And hope in the power of forgiveness. Eva was an advocate after the war. She grew into adulthood. She began to hunt for those who had brutalized so many people. And she spoke around the globe around that. And then there was a shift for her. Watch this story.
Everything in the world was done to me that would have killed me. And here I am alive.
From the Auschwitz experiments of the Angel of Death.
Children at Auschwitz.
Through decades of isolation and anger.
I accuse the world of stopping to care.
Eva's tough.
Bloody-minded.
Gestapo! Gestapo!
She rose to introduce the Mengele twins to the world.
She woke us all up.
Launched the biggest manhunt in history.
The worldwide search for this war criminal was given new importance this week.
Eva's role was absolutely critical.
Forgive mankind's worst crime.
I, Eva Moses Kor, hereby give amnesty to all Nazis.
I said, you're going to do what? You're going to do what?
How could she possibly forgive?
Free herself and start a worldwide movement.
Forgive your worst enemy. It will heal your soul and it will set you free.
I just wanted to stand up and applaud.
It was like the meet of an angel.
The pathway out of a dark place.
A revolution of what's possible in the human condition.
Even when we're all long gone,
we are free.
They'll still be telling their story.
We are free.
By any standards of the imagination. What an astounding journey.
The story of Eva.
She's taking us somewhere and has taken us somewhere that we need to be prepared to go.
There's a documentary about her life. I'd invite you to Google it and read her whole story and the power of that story. But I love the line right here at the end of this short version. She's taking us to a place we all need to go. And her story of forgiveness, the power of that story, is actually hard to believe. The horrors she experienced as a child, losing her entire family, she and her sister and facing brutal experiments. And yet she chooses to forgive. You remember the very first week we launched into this series, we talked about forgiveness is not about the other person. It is about you. It's about you choosing to forgive. And yet it is incredibly difficult for us. Author Lewis Mead said that we don't seem to be born with much talent for forgiving. It's something we all learn from scratch. Doesn't come easy for us. One of my favorite Bible characters, people, is the Apostle Peter. We meet Peter, and he's a young fisherman, and he's full of stuff. I mean, the reason I love Peter is because he is aggressive. He takes some risk. He leans in. He's constantly the first one out of the gate. But he also was human, and that's what I love about Peter. I mean, he spoke up when he should have been quiet. He was quiet when he should have spoke up. He was constantly getting himself out in front of Jesus and being rebuked for that. There were times when Peter was in the deepest throes of heartache and disappointment from his own choices, and there were other times when he was on the mountaintop of experiencing God's grace and love. I just love Peter. And Peter comes to Jesus with a big deal question, and it's a question that all of us need to ask. All of us have wanted to ask if we aren't asking it. Matthew chapter 18, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn over there. Peter comes with this question to Jesus, and I've really wondered what the backstory was. What drove him to ask this question? Here it is. Peter came to Jesus and he asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Now, don't you want to know, like how much forgiveness are you supposed to extend, actually? And if someone is a repeat offender, which is often the case in our life, maybe for you it's been a parent or a child or a spouse or a family member or an ex or a boss or somebody who's really kind of created havoc for you, created some grief in your life. Lord, how many times shall I forgive them? That's a big deal question, one that burns in nearly every heart. Forgiveness isn't an easy issue. Someone's hurt us, disappointed us, created some chaos for us. Someone's done some things that we've lived with the results of that in our life for a long time. No dismissing what they've done. No glossing it over. And it hurts. How often should we forgive? Now here's what I'm curious about. What was going on in Peter's life that drove him to the question? I mean, right? Who was driving him crazy? Who had done something to him? Was it one of the other disciples that he was traveling with? Was it a family member, a friend, maybe someone he'd been a fishing partner with? Who was it that actually Peter had? Remember the first week I asked you, hey, picture somebody that's done something to you. Who was that for Peter right here? We don't get that in the story. We don't know. How often should we forgive? Up to 7 times? I love that part. When the very first time I remember reading this with any awareness of what I was reading, I'd probably read the story sometime but didn't connect here. But the first time this one hit me, I went, man, where did that come from? Like, what do you mean like up to 7 times? Except that Peter would have grown up knowing that the rabbis taught for centuries, back to the days of the prophet Amos, the rabbinical code said this, that if somebody is offending you and repeating in behavior and you're having to deal with them, you should forgive them 3 times. And once you've forgiven 3 times, all bets were off. You could do whatever you need to do. That person didn't earn or deserve or need any more forgiveness. So here's Peter. Peter's got somebody in his life right now, and he goes to Jesus. How often do I need to forgive somebody? Up to 7 times? Because here's what Peter's thinking. I know Jesus. I mean, so far, when we've been with him, everything's been, you know, over the top. Love God, love your neighbor, love people, mercy, grace, love even your enemies. People do. So I know that the rabbis tell us 3 times, so I know what Jesus is going to say. He's probably going to say like 4 or 5, so I'm going to double that 3 to 6. I'm going to add 1, 7. I'm going to be golden. And here's what Peter's thinking. I've done 3. I'll do 7. Then I get me out my hammer. I'm going to whack somebody. Because isn't that what we want, really? I mean, isn't that our experience? That we want somebody to experience the same level or at least some pain that we've experienced. You know, we want them to feel some heartache, or at least we want them to acknowledge what they've done. I have no doubt that there were some of us sat around Thanksgiving dinner and were hopeful that somebody in the family or one of those friends that they were finally going to say to you, you know, I've been thinking. Probably didn't happen. But hang on, Christmas is coming and there's a chance. And the reality is, we just want that person to own up, or we want them to feel some level of pain. Guy was on vacation, walking down the beach, stubbed his toe, he reached down, thought it was a shell, pulled out a little bottle, he brushed the sand off, a genie popped out. The genie said, I'm going to give you 3 wishes. He said, man, I've heard about this. I didn't think it was real. I went, 3 wishes. And the genie said, I'm a little bit different, though. Everything you wish for, the person you despise the most in the world is going to get double. And he said, oh, man, that would be one of my ex-bosses. I mean, he ruined my career, ruined my life. I've lost money. It disrupted my family, led me to me and my wife fighting. We've ended up divorced. That guy ruined my life. He's going to get double what I get? Jeannie said, yeah, sorry, that's the rule. He said, well, I really would like to have $1 million. Boom, he has $1 million, suitcase full of $1 million. Jeannie said, now, don't forget, that guy you were thinking of, he just got $2 million. Genie said, well, you know, I've really, from a single wish, what do you want? And the guy said, well, what I really want is I'd like to have a house by the sea. a really nice house. He said, boom, there he was up on a cliff, six-bedroom house, gorgeous view of the ocean. Jeannie gave him a glimpse and said, here's what your ex-boss just got. He got this mansion down by the sea. He came with people that work in the barn and fixes breakfast and everything. Oh, man. He said, you get one more wish, and I want you to think about your wish, because whatever you ask for, that guy's going to get double. And Jeannie said, I know exactly what I want. That guy said to the genie, I want you to beat me half to death. That's what we want, right? We want people to pay. We want someone to get what they deserve. Peter comes to Jesus. Lord, how many times should I forgive? Up to seven times? Jesus replies, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And some translation says 70 times seven, 490 times. I wish that actually we'd had cell phones then, because I would love for like James to be recording this just to see Peter's face, like, because Peter's doing the math, like 70, 77, 77 times. Because up till now, all we've been required is three. I've been counting, one, two, three. I was even willing to extend it up to seven. I mean, I'm a good guy. Was Jesus actually giving some kind of math formula? Because here's where we all want. Okay, all right, I mean, sounds like a lot. 68, 69. What's Jesus saying here? I don't want you to keep score. This isn't about how many times you've been good and they've been bad. This isn't about how many times you've extended mercy or grace or forgiveness. Here's one of those hard things that Jesus says. Forgiveness is essential. Forgiveness is ongoing. Forgiveness is about you. And forgiveness, if you're counting, you're not forgiven. But most of us, when I look in the mirror, man, that is hard. And then Jesus, as he often did when he said a hard thing, tells a story to illustrate a point. He said, hey, I want you to know what God is like. You want to know what God's like in this category of forgiveness? Here's what he's like. And he tells this story, and it follows on in the verses. I'd encourage you to read it. Let me recap it. He said, there was a king who had a servant who owed him millions and millions of dollars, and the servant couldn't pay, so he brought him in to have him thrown in prison. And the servant begged for mercy and pleaded for grace. And the king extended mercy and set him free. And that same servant, Jesus said, that same servant went out and found a friend, another fellow worker, who owed him a few hundred dollars. And he grabbed the man by the shirt collars and he shook him and he demanded payment. And when he couldn't pay, he had him and his wife and his children thrown into prison and beaten. And Jesus said, I want you to know how God's like. He's like the king who forgives a massive debt. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. That's how he ends this story with Peter. How many times should you forgive? I want you to forgive like God forgives. He gives when you don't earn it. He gives when you don't deserve it. He forgives you no matter how big the pile is that you need to be forgiven for. And because you've been forgiven of much, you should forgive as well. And this whole grace and mercy thing, that's not easy for us. I mean, we're all pretty good about loving that God loves us. Man, I love that part. That God forgives me and extends grace to me and is merciful to me. No matter what I've done, no matter where I've been, you've heard it said, right? I mean, a lot of times, there's nothing you're going to do today that's going to cause God to love you more, and there's nothing you're going to do today that's going to somehow cause God to love you less. But when it comes to others for us, there's a challenge. Because we hang on to the stuff. And I am not dismissing in any way, please, if you've heard this over the 3 weeks and then you haven't been hearing what we've been saying, I'm not dismissing some of the horrific things that some of you have experienced at the hands of another person. Some of the things that have created real turmoil and trouble in your life. I am suggesting, however, that forgiveness is essential for every one of us. Luke chapter 6, here are some more challenges from Jesus. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. First of all, let me talk about how often we pull this verse out of context. And I've been guilty of it as well. I don't know of any pastor or churches or Giving Tuesday is coming Tuesday. And my inbox is probably like yours. I'm getting inundated with all the organizations that some we support and some I've never heard of. The nonprofits who are talking about Giving Tuesday. And Giving Tuesday matters and you have an opportunity here. And I hope you're generous. And I think that's a good thing. But who've been putting this verse... Given, it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken. I've seen that like 30 times in the last couple days because of Giving Tuesday coming. But in this passage, Jesus is not talking about my money. He's not talking about my financial resources. Now, the Bible talks about generosity and how we can never outgive God and we get blessed by giving. But this isn't one of the passages, even though a whole bunch of us have pulled it out and used it that way. Because the context of what Jesus has been talking about for quite some time before he gets to this passage and what he talks about after this passage is relational capital, relational equity. He's talking about what happens between people at work, at home, in family, and in friends, neighborhoods, the relationship that occurs. And Jesus is saying this, don't judge unless you want to be judged. Don't condemn unless you want to be condemned. Forgive because you've been forgiven. The measure you use is the one that'll get used against you. Man, that's hard. That's hard for us, isn't it? Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give forgiveness and it'll be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. God's grace. His forgiveness can and will overflow in my life if I allow it. But you want to know one of the things that blocks that? That keeps me from experiencing the overflow of grace in my own life? Is when I put up the barrier, the wall, the fence of choosing not to forgive. Now, don't misunderstand. The Bible isn't saying, oh, well, somehow you've got to forgive and then God is going to forgive you. He's pointing a mirror to us saying, God has forgiven you of so much. And he wants to heal your heart, and his grace is sufficient for you. And that same grace can allow you to extend forgiveness to others. And when you choose not to do that, when you've only experienced his grace yourself, but you're blocking it, you'll never experience fully the freedom that God, the healing that God wants to bring to your heart and your life. When you choose not to forgive. But that's hard. Isn't it interesting that the things that are good for us aren't necessarily the things we want to do? You've heard me share a couple years ago, because both my parents have had heart issues. My doctor for 4 or 5 years now has been saying, you know, really you should pay better attention. You ought to eat better and exercise more. And so probably for the last 5 years, I've been trying to do that better. I some of you love to work out, and I just don't like it. I've been doing it. I don't like it. Been trying to run some. All of you who are runners have been saying, hang on, it's just going to get better. And then those endorphins will kick in. You'll get that runner's high. The only thing I've felt is the oxygen deprivation that's caused me to feel like I'm going to pass out. And I don't like it. It's never happened. I've been doing it 4 years now. Don't tell me it's going to happen. It's just... hasn't happened. Diane just recently got an elliptical machine, and so that's down in our basement. We've just had it for a week, so, you know, we're in that newfound where we're doing it, and pretty soon it'll, you know, have laundry hanging on it, like, and, at least for my part, and, you know, and Diane's all chipper about it. Oh, let's go down and work out. And I don't want to. You know, you've heard me say my idea of exercise is fill the tub with hot water, pull the drain, and fight the current. I don't want to die. And eating better, I don't like that either. I just said the whole idea of eating better. You know, we were with some friends recently, and they said, "Oh, we made this kale salad, but try it. It doesn't taste like kale. If you have to fix it up, like, what's the point?" One of the reasons I go to Aunt Alice's for breakfast is because they do have a menu they put up on the wall, and they always have their healthy choices, which is my favorite. The other day, I should have taken a picture. The healthy choice was the half biscuit and gravy. I love that place. There's two sides to forgiveness, isn't there? There's two sides. And they both have to do with my heart. And what's good for my heart, I don't always want to do. I need to be forgiven. I'm grateful God does. But there's others that I need to ask forgiveness from. And I need to forgive. What steps do you need to take, just in a practical way? I think first is, if you've never experienced the grace of God in your life, I want to invite you to come to Christ. Take that step. Experience what God wants to do to allow you to find forgiveness from Him. And here's the key thing. It also gives you the freedom to forgive yourself for all that stuff. And I love watching people come out of our baptistry and finding the hope and promise and peace that comes from Christ. And I hope you'll take that step if you haven't taken it. And then secondly, I want to encourage you to take an inventory of your life. And who is it that maybe you need to ask forgiveness from, make amends with? And then as you recall some hurt or disappointment in your life, extend forgiveness. That's the hard thing. Extend forgiveness. Pray. Get some help if you need to. Maybe you still need to kind of plow down on that thing that happened to you so that you can get to a place where you can begin to heal. Get others to come alongside you, encourage you. Make a phone call. Have that coffee. And maybe you shouldn't and can't for a lot of different reasons. Then write that letter. And it's possible you may even write a letter to someone that's never even going to read it. I wrote a letter to the two guys that were drunk and driving the car that killed my sister. They were killed in the accident. They never saw that letter. I needed to write that letter. And you'll know you have forgiven when you remember the hurt without the big pain that goes with it. And you'll know you've forgiven when it's no longer something that stirs up in you or you feel a need to keep talking about it or stewing over it. Rudyard Kipling, the author, said, "Nothing is settled until it is settled right." And I want to encourage you, do the hard thing. It's good for your heart. Jesus set a high bar, but he also gave us a ladder to get over the bar. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your grace. Thanks for the promise of peace and hope that comes from you, through you. And Lord, I know that there are some of us right now that we experience some pretty horrific things, and this is so far from our ability to do that now, but help us in that journey. Lord, help heal our hearts. And Father, for some of us, there's that family member, that friend, that coworker that we need to make amends with. Help us do that. And Father, there's that person that we need to forgive. Lord, help us to do the hard things you've invited us to do and experience your goodness and grace.